A ghostly band of morning mist hovered on the continental river. From somewhere within the milky vapor advanced the sputter of a weary outboard motor. Soon a blurry shape emerged, and the shape appeared to be that of a garden shed roped to a listing pontoon, a houseboat of sorts.
"Here comes Madame Marvell," said Auguste Dupont.
The boy had eyes of the palest gold, like late summer marsh grass, unusually large and round, and rendered even larger by large, round eyeglasses. Between those and his rather small mouth, he bore a distinct resemblance to a baby owl. Swatting away some butterflies circling his head, the boy lifted a bosun's whistle to his lips and blew, closing and opening his fingers over the instrument's holes to create a wavering warble. The dawn's stillness should have resulted in the sound seeming piercing and conspicuous, but it was masked to some extent by the weak fog and the clamor of passing street sweepers. The snail-paced vehicles edged along nearby Dolphin Street, their great circular brushes noisily swishing trash into their steel bellies. Plastic cups and confetti, and sequined masks, and a million strings of colored beads. All the festive debris generated by 2 weeks of carnival. The whistle was loud enough, however, directed as it was across the water, to reach the approaching vessel, which shifted course slightly, clearly heading toward the high-pitched sound.
"Are you quite well enough to travel?" asked Belladonna Malvo. "It is not every day, after all, that a person gets walloped in the head by the paddle of a riverboat." "The paramedic came by first thing," muttered August. "He said there's no concussion. Gave me the all clear."
Belladonna studied her cousin for a moment.
"Ah," she said, as if in revelation, "that's what's missing. Your beekeeper's costume." "I lost the helmet in the river last night," explained August. "Without it, the gloves seemed rather pointless."
"Are you certain you are all right? You look, well, bluer than a day-old bruise."
August threw the girl a dispirited glance.
"I'm doing fine, I guess," he said dolefully, "considering I'm the person who ruined the grand parade, highlight of Crescent City's world-famous carnival, an event watched on television by millions of people."
"Oh, quit being so hard on yourself," said Belladonna consolingly. "It wasn't your fault."
She glanced discreetly at the gaggle of zombies nearby. A softly weeping showgirl, a small prince, and a well-dressed lady with only half a face. The bedraggled creatures swayed unsteadily on the boulders that formed the river's embankment.
"Was it not your pirate zombie," persisted Belladonna, "Jacques Lesault, who truly caused the entire accident?"
"Your pirate zombie," repeated August. "That, cousin, is precisely the problem. Let me ask you this. If the float had not collided with the fire hydrant, would the masts have collapsed, drenching everyone with bubble fluid and wrecking the TV presenter's balcony, Yuko Yukiyama's xylophone, and the entire sound system?"
"I guess not," admitted Belladonna.
"And if celebrity cat officer Claw had not flipped his lid and leaped, claws extended, onto the bald head of the driver, would the float have collided with the fire hydrant?"
"No,"
said Belladonna more quietly.
"And if pirate zombie Jacques Lesault had not been on the float, would he have mistaken foil-wrapped chocolate doubloons for his own treasure and lunged for them with a monstrous bellow, causing celebrity cat officer Claw to flip his lid in the first place?"
Belladonna shook her head.
"And why was Jacques Lesault on the float?"
Belladonna was silent.
"Because of me, Belladonna."
August gazed upon the lapping brown water with a bleak expression.
"Because, like you said, he's my zombie. Not that I can say why. I certainly didn't set out to collect a bunch of undead groupies who follow me everywhere."
"Like ducklings," observed Belladonna, "trail behind their mother."
"If only they were ducklings. Ducklings don't smell like moldy coffins. Ducklings don't make people scream and panic or cause havoc wherever they go. Ducklings don't drool on your arm and offer you their eyeball."